Thanks for listening to Radio Sydney. I'm Peter Wainwright. I'm the host of Peninsula Affairs. Today we're going to be talking about economic development and Sydney's economy. And I've got a panel of three knowledgeable people here to discuss that. My first panelist is Campbell Black. He is the founder of Blackline Marine Inc., which is one of the leading marine service industries on the peninsula. And he's also the president of Quadrant Marine Institute. Good morning, Campbell.
Good morning.
My next panelist is David Calvilli. He is the former chair of Sydney's Economic Development Commission. He's also a retired CEO. He's been involved in several multinational corporations. Morning, David.
Good morning, Peter.
And final panelist, last but not least, John Juristic. John has been involved in a variety of economic initiatives in the region, and he's the spokesperson for the Sydney North Saanich Industrial Group.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, David. Good morning, Campbell. Really excited to be on Radio Sydney this morning. Thank you.
Okay. So to start this off, I think before we get into talking about economic development in Sydney, we should have a bit of a discussion about what the economy on the peninsula is and in fact, Sydney's economy, because a lot of people who've maybe moved here recently don't really have an appreciation of anything except sort of the downtown retail and that we're a tourist center. So I'd like to kind of open up the discussion. Let's describe Sydney's economy, and maybe Campbell, you could start and tell us about the marine sector and what it means for the peninsula's economy.
That's great. Thanks, Peter. Well, I came to Sydney in 1978 after leaving Sydney, Australia. I lived there for 7 years and moved to Sydney, BC, which was an interesting. How long have you lived in Sydney? Well, a very long time. When I arrived, it was a wild and woolly place, shall I say. It was a fairly tough little town, but a town full of opportunity. There were a lot of things going on in those days. And I got a job with a boat builder in Sydney, and then with 2 years, opened my own company and have had that company, Blackline Marine, ever since. Been involved both in manufacturing small boats. We used to have a kayak company called Current Designs. We built 18,000 boats over the years. And then the Marine Service Company, which has been there since the outset in 1980. And we service yachts in four specialty areas. So my association with the industry is primarily the service side of the industry, but I'm familiar with the marinas and all the other activities, the small manufacturing that still goes on in Sydney. So it's a long history, and it's a history of enormous growth over the years, and it's an industry that provides a very broad range of careers for people that want to enter. The overall industry in British Columbia is strong. It employs about 20,000 people, and the service side of the industry that I represent has about 14% of that. Just to put it in context, and I'll stop after this. Put it in context: the big manufacturers, the Vic Ship, the C-Spans, the guys that are doing all the heavy industry in the province have about 16% of the industry. We in the service sector, the small boat sector, have about 14%. So we are almost the same dollar value as those big guys. Pay attention. This is a lot of dollars going to some very small communities all over the province, but particularly here in Sydney.
Okay. I remember hearing you speak at the Sydney Breakfast Club, and I think you said something about the number of employees involved in the marine sector on the peninsula is somewhere around 600 or so.
Yes, if you look at all of the various sectors, it is that. If you looked at Sydney, the North Saanich, and you looked at the marine service sector, probably 400 people directly. And there's a lot of support activity that goes on to augment that number, which would bring it up. But for those directly working on vessels, it's about 400 people. Those are high-skilled jobs, and those are high-value jobs.
Okay. I was going to ask you that it's not like minimum wage at all. This is a pretty good wage for the employee.
If you walk in the door with no experience, you're starting at around $17. If you have been around and have a certification, you're probably in the $30 range, $35 range. And if you have got management experience, you're up to, say, $50 an hour. Okay. So that it's quite a broad range. But essentially, the challenge is career development for all of these companies. And when they've got someone who can stay for a significant time and willing to invest in their own careers, they can do very well.
Okay. And do you have any feel for how much, like, dollar-wise this contributes to the local economy?
Well, it's a hard one to nail down, but just looking directly at that number of people with what I would assume to be a typical charge out with some of those in administration, probably close to $60 million directly at a wage-generating level. That's not just directly wages, but that's what their revenue would be as income earners for their companies. And then all of the support activities on top of that in terms of all the materials that are consumed, etc. So you're coming close to $100 million.
That's pretty significant. Okay, I'm going to turn to John now and ask him if he can give us a bit of a similar profile of what's going on or what the advanced manufacturing sector in West Sydney contributes.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Campbell. I'm always amazed by the size of the marine industry and the scope of it. On the, I'd say the other side. Well, how would you geographically locate that? Would that be southern Sydney, generally speaking?
You mean the northern part?
Is it the northern part? Okay, the northern part. Okay. Well, okay, so what I'm going to talk about then is sort of the west side, the other side of Beacon. And I think it's reflected best by a comment from a senior government official that spoke to the Sydney North Saanich Industrial Group about 3 years ago, a person in charge of most of the economic development monies for the government. And we asked that person to come and speak to the group. And this person said, you know, I've driven by Sydney, I bet 100 times. And I never knew that there were companies on the other side of the highway. And, you know, I think that's really reflective of what's going on over there. There is likely one of the strongest manufacturing sectors on the island, on the other side of Beacon Avenue. And it's a cross range of manufacturing companies within the 13 classifications under manufacturing. So there are companies over there, for example, Nicholson, heavy metal manufacturer. Scott Plastics, a global leader in plastic manufacturing. SeaStar Chemicals, a chemical manufacturer. Of course, Viking Air, which is a North Saanich company, but for the sake of this discussion, they're in the same area. Mm-hmm. They impact what needs to happen and the visibility. So there's a numerous global companies over there. What's the size? Likely, we did a survey through business licenses of the 13 municipalities who held manufacturing sort of business license orientation. There was about 120 of those companies right across Lower Vancouver Island with 10 or plus employees, of which half are situated between the three municipalities of Sydney, North Saanich, and Central Saanich, of which half are in Sydney. Mm-hmm. So this is a substantive size of industry over there. And I would argue, I don't think I even have to argue, that it is the economic engine for Lower Vancouver Island. And it's hidden. Okay. And it's operating on its own.
Mm-hmm. So, John, to draw a bit of the comparison, how many employees are we talking about over there?
So we've done some survey work, and as Campbell indicated, I mean, these numbers can be really flexible depending on whom you include. If we do not include the airport and the ferry, significant economic drivers for the region. Mm. We're probably at about 2,500 to 3,000 employees. Mm. We companies like this are very reluctant to give their revenue numbers, but over the years we've been able to extract numbers. And of the 12 largest companies that in some respects comprise the Sydney North Sandwich Industrial Group, they're generating a revenue of close to $1 billion a year. Mm-hmm. So one could easily surmise that this is a $1 to $1.5 billion industry, and it's often mischaracterized and categorized with the technology industry. So these are advanced manufacturers using advanced technology to build their product. They're not technology companies.
Okay. So I'm going to turn to David now, and because these obviously are some pretty big economic sectors. Can you kind of put this in perspective of Sydney as a whole?
Actually, it's interesting, Peter, because when we first started the Economic Development Commission, we were very conscious of you don't know what you don't know. And there is, in fact, the BC Economic Development Association comes out with a roadmap as to how to start economic development study, if you like, or implementation. And we followed it a bit and we said, well, what have we got in Sydney? Now, I've got a few numbers I can share with you here, but they are a year old. But I don't think they've changed, you know, that dramatically. And I continue, you know, when I listen to John here and to Campbell, you know, I wish we could have these gentlemen more, you know, giving us some solid stuff sometimes. But generally, if we look at our downtown businesses, for example, our SBIA area, when we looked at it, about 219 businesses, and this is ones that we actually went out, you know, feet on the street and checked out, apart from business licenses, and we segmented them. What's interesting is, you know, everybody thinks, oh yeah, we're into clothing and used clothing. If you ask somebody, what does Sydney look like? And then some tourists.
In bookstores.
And bookstores. Yeah. Actually, out of that 219, only 5 or 2% are bookstores. The big ones are doctors, dentists, healthcare. 43 at about 20%. Full and limited food service, about just shy of 20%. And then personal services such as dry cleaners, funerals, etc. I'm not sure why the two come together, but overall that group adds up to about 55%. By the time, and I won't read them all out for you, but clothing, for example, is about 11% of the businesses in the SBIA area. A little bit different to what we thought of, or what most people think of as the downtown area. If I look over at the west side, you know, and John, we only looked at Sydney. We didn't look beyond that. But interesting, about 136 businesses over there on the west side in Sydney. For sure, 45 in manufacturing. So, you know, 33% over there, you know, into manufacturing. The retail trade, interesting, on the west side. 18 businesses in the retail trade over there, about 13%. You have to remember that, of course, if you're selling motorhomes, for example, you're in the retail trade.
Yeah.
You're not manufacturing over there.
Or potentially slag, right?
Slags, yeah. Etc.
Yeah.
Other services in at about 13%. We did break down your manufacturing, again, a year ago, and a little bit interesting there. The biggest is fabricated product manufacturing,
right,
over there. Furniture and related products. And this is numbers of companies rather than turnover or people or whatever.
Yes.
And then ship and boat building. Actually, 7 over on the west side there. So it's not only Harbour Road.
Yeah, of which Titan Boats is one of those.
Absolutely.
A global leader in that sort of smaller craft manufacturing.
So if we're talking about the downtown, then it sounds like roughly half of the businesses down there are professional service type end of things.
That's right. In those groups, if you like, I mean, you get then real estate, for example, about 7%. You know, yeah, the rest, banking, etc., is relatively small, about 8 businesses, actually, in that kind of thing. But, yes, personal services.
So do we have a feel for how many employees that represents?
That was going to be actually a next step that we came up with. We tried to get numbers of that and turnover. I think the SBIA probably can tell you, you know, very quickly how many people they've got there. We tried to access information by various means in terms of turnover, but nobody really wants to to give that information. And you know, the sources you would think of, like credit card companies, etc., they're closed as well. So difficult. I think personally, if you get an estimate of the number of people, just as we were saying, you've got an idea of what the wages are. You've an idea what margins are in retail. You can backtrack into a turnover number.
Okay, and I've heard that the final major sector of the economy is home-based businesses.
That was something we did look at, and in fact, something I came up recently recently. And again, I was somewhat surprised. A little over 200 business licenses out in Sydney for home-based businesses. Mm-hmm. It's not insignificant, you know, and they range from obviously, you know, hairdressing to trucks to you know, your doctor, you know, whatever, but not doctors, your electrician, etc. But yes, it's not a small part of the economy.
Okay, so overall, though, would you agree that the major economic engine is the West Sydney, and the marine sector is pretty significant too?
Absolutely. Those overshadow the others, you know, between those two yes.
Okay. So now that we've got a bit more background, and it sounds like the downtown retail is actually a relatively... not trivial, but a small sector of the overall economy. Let's talk a bit about economic development. And like, if you'd asked me, say, 20 years about economic development, the focus would have been on creating jobs. But what I'm hearing from both the industrial sector and the marine sectors, and even the retail downtown, they're having trouble filling jobs, hiring people, and keeping people. So, what is what's economic development for? Like, what's the objective? And you know, what's the role of the municipality versus the role of business? I see John champing at the bit.
Well, I think because I wouldn't mind perhaps introducing a rather provocative theme that in fact. Economic development for the region is actually the last thing we need. I think what we actually need is support services development. We have established businesses and industries in this region that are actually of a global status. And what these companies require to keep growing is not to make more jobs, but the services to help those employees come here. And so... So where, you know, so a services development theme would therefore be, where are the doctors? Where's the healthcare? Where's the daycare? Where are the fitness services? And really, maybe very importantly, where are the education services to train these folks that are here? There is a dramatic labor market shortage that we can't fix. So companies are really diving into how do we become more efficient and more productive, and that's training. Economic development, coming back to the to there, might therefore be, well, how can we build Sydney into a training center for the world? Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at, and certainly that's reflective of the companies I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm. Well, a few comments. I agree that most of the jobs that are out there now in our industry are unfilled. These are professional jobs, and they remain unfilled for well over a year. So there's a lot of growth left on the table simply because we can't do the work. As far as you know, where we stand nationally, internationally, if we look at the, and I'm speaking about the marine service industry, and maybe everyone doesn't have a clue as to exactly what that is. It's not boat building, because that is out there, but it's relatively small. It's not marinas. They're out there with 3,000 berths, and they generate a good, solid income in themselves. But it's the marine service industry that maintains these vessels, converts these vessels, does everything with them that keeps them on the water and brings them to a higher level of operation. It's very significant, high value. Of all the marine service in British Columbia, in the small craft area, which is where Sydney is, Vancouver Island is about 50%. That's the highest concentration in Canada.
What?
Right? Of that, the little zone of Sydney alone, if you look at the whole island and just Sydney, we're probably between 12 and 14% of that at 400 people. This is the hub of this kind of work for Canada. This is the center of it in this country. And we are one of the areas of the world that stand out as the place to go if you want all these specialty
that
services.
That is crazy.
It's solid.
I never knew.
And what is, economic development is healthy, vibrant companies, healthy, vibrant employment, as however you want to define that. And I agree. I think the last thing we need is to... increase the level of underemployment in terms of, or underfilling those jobs within the companies. Now we need something that's going to contribute to that bringing people here, allowing them to live a life that is reasonable in this community without breaking the bank. We cannot transfer people here from other places to fill these jobs because of the cost of living in the area. And that's the big challenge. It's difficult to look outside of our area to bring people in. The avenue for our industry tends to be find those people locally who are underemployed or newly employed, and then work hard on them to develop their skills. So career development is a big part of the industry. If you don't grow your own, you're not going to import them to here.
Right, right.
Because of the cost.
So if I'm kind of looking at it as the municipality or the average citizen, and I like ask that question, what's the objective of economic development? So you said it's not job creation, and one of the other things I hear or I've seen is you're doing it to diversify the economy because you've got a community that's dependent on a pulp mill and, you know,
sure,
boom and bust. But you know, Sydney is obviously not that. Maybe you're doing it because you want to grow the tax base, you know, make the community more prosperous. But and I do appreciate businesses pay typically three times the taxes as residential, but the residential component is actually pretty big. Maybe you're doing it to make the economy more resilient. Maybe you're trying. Anyway,
I would, if I can give you a little bit of my thought there. You know, Sydney's coming up with an OCP review. And I think that just as important in terms of that plan, if you like, is streets for sure, heights of buildings for sure, you know, what do we want Sydney to look like, what's the waterfront like, etc., etc., is the economy that we've got in here. And I think, therefore, the economy is one of those legs that the town and the municipality has to look at. In terms of answering John's question, economic development means far more than simply, you know, promoting businesses and bringing it in here. It is those services. To take, you know, Campbell's point, yes, you know, we have to look at, homegrown people for sure. We do have to attract people in here. When we talk to businesses around, some of the other businesses around here, and maybe, you know, yours is a little bit of an exception, particularly at the higher levels, you want to bring people in here. And part of economic development is letting the world know what a wonderful place Sydney is.
Absolutely.
And that's in terms of You know, the doctors, the education, the transportation, the climate, etc. I think we've come a long way with that over the last couple of years. Sydney is certainly, you know, you have to dig so deep that nobody will ever find it on the town's website, but there is information there about the demographics, about all of that stuff that makes Sydney a very, very attractive place. And I see that as being part of economic development. Planning, if you like, as we go forward.
I comment on that. I agree 100% with that. I think when I came to Sydney in 1978, as I said, it was a little bit wild and woolly, but it was outward looking. It was we were a lot of manufacturing going on, a lot of things that were reaching out into the to the rest of the world. We have turned that around a little bit. I think we're a very inward-looking community right now. I think we're it's Sydney by the time for a nap sea. And I would prefer to see something that was a lot more connected to the rest of the world. We live in an incredible area. The resource of the water all around us is phenomenal. Internationally, it's phenomenal. This is a community that should be looking outside. It's a community to explore the world from. It's a vibrant place of what we talk about, boats. It's movement. It's about movement, this place. So we've always talked back and forth about, is it a boat town or a book town? Well, sure, it's a boat town. I mean, that's, you just look at the geography of the place. It's a boat town, and there's so much to be gained. I love reading. It's one of my strongest hobbies. But boy, this place has internationally set itself at a high point for dealing with the rest of that enormous community that's out there in the water.
By default, you know, their infrastructure here that one can't deny, regardless of one's opinion of where the community should go, that being the airport, the ferries, and the water. Mm-hmm. And those three things drive economic development. And I think that's where I would leave the conversation. We got to address that.
So what I'm hearing is that one is that we want to promote Sydney quality of life, the reason that employees and such would want to come here, not necessarily businesses, but people, and particularly employees. And what we're hearing from our well-established parts of the economic engine is that they don't need any economic development. They need support. Mm-hmm. So is that a reasonable summary of things?
I think you're right. I think, and it's very much from time to time. I think as we identify, or as the town, for example, identifies particular needs, coming probably from, you know, people such as John's group on the west side, or the marine side, or the downtown side, I think that we can, as we have done, we can provide information, we can make that information known, like the gap analysis on the main street here, which should be used to, you know, to fill stores, if you like. But, I mean, I was privileged last week or so to hear a very new business start-up on the far side, a world leader, probably the only one in terms of analysis of hair. You know, I mean, this is stuff that is going to build, is wonderful in terms of attracting new. And you mentioned, Peter, you mentioned resilience. And if everybody thinks that the economy as is today is going to remain screaming along at such a high rate with zero unemployment, they are seriously delusioned.
Right.
The marine business and the marine service business, I will say, was interesting, is almost independent of the dollar. Mm. You know, that's good news.
Almost.
So we're basically out of time, and it seemed like this discussion could keep going, you know, quite a bit. But unfortunately, as I say, we're out of time. So thank you all for participating today, and thank you for listening to Radio Sydney. If you have any comments about what you heard today, you can send an email to Radio Sydney. The address is on the website, or feel free to post a comment on Peninsula Affairs Facebook page.